At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we're upping the benefits without upping the price. Introducing Magenta Max, now with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, get Netflix on us. Right now, pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $650 only at T-Mobile.
Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. Up to 40 gigs high-speed tethering. $650 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Simmons support charges waived. Receive Netflix standard with two lines.
We've been listening in on those two drivers, sir. Take a listen.
Nice work, Agent, whatever your name is.
Sorry, let me just dial in the frequency. Stand by.
This is a Nissan sales event ad. Got it?
They're saying it's a Nissan sales event ad.
Bravo, you cracked it.
But, wouldn't there be some sort of announcer, sir?
Give it a sec.
Secret's out. Hurry in for unbelievable savings at your local Nissan store or shop online at NissanUSA.com. Get 0% APR financing on 14 models or get a low $229 per month lease on Rogue.
Well-qualified buyer subject to NMAC credit approval. See dealer for financing details. Well-qualified lessees, $42.59 initial payment for 36 months on 2021 Rogue. Initial payment amounts exclude tax, title, and license. Disposition fee due at lease end. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, list of eligible models, and important safety information. Ends 3/31/21.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save an average of $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money in just a few minutes. With savings like that, you could be lounging on an impractical amount of ornate and overpriced throw pillows you bought for your couch. But you won't, because you're better with money than that. That's why you're calling us in the first place. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Based on average nationwide annual savings survey data, July to December 2020, underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Hey, my name is Venora Lewis. I'm a sports writer, the host of a popular podcast called The V Report, and now the founder of the VL Foundation Incorporated. When I was 9, I lost both of my parents. However, I was raised by my godparents who did a fantastic job trying to fill that void. However, they couldn't. As an adult, I realized that that void was because there was a lack of services and programs for adolescents like me. Hence why I started the VL Foundation. Our mission is to provide those services to adolescents who have lost or have felt abandonment from their parent or guardian. The three things we'll focus on is college prep, counseling, and workforce prep. Definitely check out our website, thevlfoundation.org, to keep up with us. But don't forget to check out our social media, which we're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Bye.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. And the lady that you heard speak so eloquently is Venora Lewis. We have her back on the program. She is the host of The V Report, also co-host of The Huddle Up on the MTMB Sports Podcast Network, also does great things with the Ambush Sports Network, and also a writer for Beyond Women's Sports. But we're going to begin talking about, of course, the commercial that you heard is for her new nonprofit organization that she's recently launched called the VL Foundation. And we want to welcome her back to the program, Venora Lewis. Hello, Venora. Welcome back.
Hi, Ed. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So, you know, we know about your cachet and your status currently in sports with writing and podcasting and things of that nature. But let's go back to the beginning. The commercial that our listeners just heard was for the VL Foundation, which is your new nonprofit organization. And congratulations on that wonderful endeavor. You mentioned about
You're welcome.
The premise of the organization is that you provide youth with a sense of hope and a sense of encouragement and to take, you know, to remove trauma from the trauma that they've experienced from losing a loved one at such an early age. I want to get to your story for a moment, if you care to share this. You mentioned that you lost your parents at the tender age of 9, and I can only imagine what someone has to go through, a child just trying to navigate this world, and, you know, for a parent to leave this world for them to die. And you mentioned that your your godparents did a good job of raising you, but a void was filled. Can you kind of go into detail just, you know, what traumatic experiences you may have, if you'd like to share, about just from you losing your parents at such a young age, at the age of 9?
Yes, I can. My father died in December, and my mother died in March, and I turned 10 actually in April. So that's why they both passed before I was my 10th birthday. And what happened was my dad, he suffered a stroke, and my mom passed from multiple sclerosis complications. They were love. They fell in love at first sight. They were yin and yang. So my mom, losing my dad, completely broke her in a completely different way. And I did not, of course, as a 9-year-old, I did not expect that to happen, to lose my mom. But I saw that she was hurting. She was really battling that with that grief. And that grief was something that she ended up succumbing to towards the end. But as a kid, it was more of a why us factor than, like, because I, as a kid, I've been to several funerals. I wasn't, unfortunately, one of those kids that didn't know about death. I knew about it very early. And in the end, my siblings, we just have to be always, there's a lot of funerals we went to. We were always around it. So it wasn't something that was new, but it was different when it came to our house. I can say that as a kid, the stages of grief, we didn't go through them the correct way. We didn't have like a program like that worked with us through that pain. It was more like we had a school counselor that we would see like once every 2 months, and he was not certified in grief at all. So he really didn't know how to help us or even provide us with the aid that we needed to get through that pain. My godparents recently passed away themselves. They happened like my godmother is my mother's sister, her little sister. So I've known my godparents my entire life. They were very much active, and even to the day when we lost our mom, my godparents came in, swooped in, and made life quote unquote better. So a lot of these kids out here that are in the foundation don't have that person to swoop in and make life like going on with no issue. So that was, that's kind of more my story. So when I experienced this pain, I had my godmother and my grandmother. I also have a big family. So it was more like, but they were the two, I would say, the main factors that were like, you know, we're going to create this new sense of normal for you.
I want to just continue for a moment from the time that tragedy happened with you. Only at the age of 9, as you mentioned, it happened, both of your parents passing away at right before your 10th birthday. It came at such a pivotal time, not just in your life, but really at 9 going on 10. Those are like pivotal years. Those are important years in a child's life. Those are the formative years, is the correct terminology for it, because now you're coming into elementary school and now you're starting to find out what type of friends you like and interest and things of that nature. And next thing you know, you're a preteen, you're in middle school and in high school, and then you're going to start noticing the opposite sex and, you know, puberty kicks into play and things of that nature. What were your formative years how were your formative years shaped with the absence of your parents not being there and your godparents stepping in? And also, as you mentioned, with your grandmother coming from a big family, how were your formative years shaped during those time periods?
I can say there was, especially in elementary school, there was a lot of bullying because, like, I would say, on the very extreme minority. First of all, we were in the area we were at. We were in a very Caucasian area. Everybody had their parents. Like, they were parents by not being together, but they had their parents. So it's more like a lot of extreme bullying because our parents passed away. I had I was a middle child. It was a lot of, like, I had a lot of anger about it because I've always had a little temper. My father was there. I have a temper when I was little, but he always tell me, lost your temper. So, like, when he was gone and my mom was gone, especially the kids at school, I wanted to erupt every day. And I was just like, I can't do it. So, during that time of, like, moving towards adolescence, it was very rough. And I can honestly sit here and say, I didn't do the proper things. What I did was I blocked, like, put my parents in a box in my brain and shut that box far away. I didn't want to think about them. I didn't want, because me and my mother are very, we look a lot alike. We look very, very, very similar to one another, especially even her younger, I look just like her as a kid. I look like her right now, actually. She was like 20, in her late 20s, we look exactly the same. Besides, she's Afro, I do not. That's the only thing different. And say that it was very difficult, like, even looking in the mirror at the time, because it just, like, everybody would tell me, you look like your mother. And I took it not as a compliment. It was, like, a very painful moment because I can't see my mother. You guys have your mothers. Like, they're all right here. They're all around me talking about. And also my family, they didn't mention my mother. After my mother passed away, my aunt, they stopped speaking of her altogether. So it was a lot of questions that would open up, like, okay, like, why don't anybody mention their sister anymore? My grandmother will mention her. She used to mention her. It was why my grandmother and I were very, very close, because she would talk about her in the present, like, talk about her, what she does, what she likes to do, what her favorite foods, like, her life was lived through. My grandmother continued to give her life. When I definitely got towards, like, middle school and high school, like, I didn't participate in the father-daughter dances. I was a debutante. Yes. Things got different when I definitely went home, switched homes. I became a debutante, the Jack and Jill girl, all those things, but I never could experience the father-daughter dance. I couldn't experience my mother teaching me how to curtsy and stuff like that. So my godparents, they definitely snapped with an eye. So it was an automatic move, pretty much, I'll say. And my sister, she's not my biological sister, but she's my sister. So we go by that. She also, we're the same age. So her dad's going to definitely focus in on his daughter more than me, which is okay. That's what you're supposed to. But he definitely showered me with love. They both showered me with love. And but there was a lot of things I definitely stood away from. I turned my eyes to automatically. I was like, no, I don't want to go to that. I don't want to do that, because I didn't properly grieve that loss.
Wow,
even before I graduated from high school and college. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. I mean, those are all pivotal moments. When you lose a parent at such an early age like that, I always have a tendency to kind of ask people that have gone through that, you know, what were your formative years like? And you said what had happened. You know, they again, your godparents, they stepped in. Your grandmother spoke very highly of your mom, and again, having to kind of deal with that mental anguish and that mental stress of you, that, as you said, looking in the mirror and you see her, and it's like you didn't want to deal with it, but your grandmother opened up and, like you said, talked about her favorite foods and got you to kind of appreciate, as time went on, you know, what, you know, the beauty of your mother, you know, inside and out. And, of course, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of family members stepping in and doing what they had to do. I want to stay with, you mentioned about high school counselors trying their best to help out in the process, even though you mentioned that the counselor wasn't certified. Do you think now in the Black community, mental health is something that's definitely becoming more widely accepted? As we know, in the Black culture, really in minority all of minority cultures, speaking out and saying that I have a problem or dealing with mental health is looked as a sign of weakness. And I wanted to know if mental health was something that was really out in the forefront in the Black community during that tough time that you went through. Do you think it would have, may have made things a little bit better, just kind of handle the pressures of life and handle those formative years that you were experiencing?
Actually, I'm 100% comfortable answering that question. If I I can say with my personal situation, with my counselor may be distrust counselor. That's the way to put it. The counselor that we were assigned, he wasn't a good person. And he's part of the problem with people trying to get help, because he will make you, he made us feel, like me and my youngest brother, as if this was our fault, that this, we did something to cause this situation. And that's something, and my brother at the time, he was seven. Yeah, he was seven. So it was like, back in the early 2000s, I will say that mental health was not, and also, like you said, it was a weakness. So it was like, you guys are crazy. That's why you have to go to the counselors. That's why, like, so it actually created more of a bullying tactic. Like, okay, they have to go to the counselor because their mom, their dad died, and they're crazy. That's how it's looked at. Instead of, like, right now, as I'm happy that we are in a new age where it's important to now get the help, because if we actually did have the appropriate services, maybe things would have been even better. I can honestly say me and my brothers, our lives turned out fantastic. We're all very successful and all very doing very well and make our parents very proud. But it would have probably been very helpful, like you said, to have had services, especially with counseling, that gave us a chance to heal properly and to move on. Maybe the pain wouldn't still be aching. That's one thing I learned now, that as I am as a full grown adult, and with working with a therapist, she pointed out that I still do have pain from back when I was nine, and that's almost 20 years ago. So even with that, that definitely was a big eye-opener to me. So I do think the stigma in the Black community is that if you are talking to a therapist, that you're crazy, something wrong with you, or it's not that bad, you don't need a therapist. But now I'm happy now that people are standing up, because yes, it is. Certain things are that bad, that having a licensed professional talk to you and work with you is needed. Because I can give you advice about random stuff each and every day, but I'm not licensed. So if you take my advice and if things go horribly wrong, all I do is feel bad about it, but you are now damaged. At least with a therapist, they could be like, they can definitely say, well, before you do all that crazy stuff, how about you listen, talk, how do you listen to me? And also you see them. So they like, it definitely helps to have somebody that knows, that personally is, yeah, went to school for this, that studied this, that understands the way our minds work, than to talk to your friends sometimes or to talk to a random person. So I think from my personal experience, I wish I had a counselor or a therapist or somebody to talk to that would have been able to guide me correctly in my emotional piece. Because my godparents, that was not their field of study. That wasn't their field of employment. They were in a different field altogether. So they wouldn't know the steps. And they also, my godmother lost her father when she was in her late 30s, early 40s. So she went, and her mother was just passed away in 2020. So it's just like, that's like, she got her parents in her whole entire life. She wouldn't understand to relate to a child like me who is literally going through it at the moment.
Yeah, it's certainly a big difference. And, it's mm-hmm. tough losing parents, but it's just a whole other animal when you lose parents, as what you and your little brother did at such a young age, man. It's just a complete 180, because they're not present physically for important moments in your lives. I want to stay with therapy. You mentioned that you have a therapist. What other things do you do to try to keep your mental health sharp? I know we're in some very uncompromising circumstances right now, but you mentioned that you have a therapist mm-hmm. and you go to therapy, but what are some of the other things that you do to try to keep your mental health sharp, to just keep your mind clear and focused and just try to stay as positive as you can?
Especially right now in the time we are living in, what I like to do also is meditate. I'm a huge fan of meditation. I think meditation definitely helps you relieve some of the pain that you are carrying and the burden that you're carrying, that you don't even notice it until it's gone. And that's what I do every single day. I make sure I take some time to just even, and meditating is not have to be a formal thing. You won't have to, you know, do all the whole thing you see in movies. So just take some time to just be in your own thought and be with self, and then like come back to present. Like, it's, I honestly, what I do is I sometimes meditate in bed before I start work. I'll literally lay in bed and sometimes repeat my mantra. And to me, it's like it puts me in the right direction for where I need to be for the day. So I meditate. Also, those who are, because the pandemic has caused so many different, like, there's so many different ways to attack how the pandemic has impacted mental health. With COVID, anxiety has been developing, with people being locked away from everybody, and they can't handle being with themselves, can't handle with living, being some people who are by themselves physically and mentally, they can't handle it. The suicide rate's going up. There's so much the pandemic caused, but I think by being able to positively go into self is a very helpful and needed tool to do during this crisis. That's what I do.
Rightfully so. And let's move along now to your nonprofit organization that you've launched, a wonderful wonderful setup called the VL Foundation. And tell everybody what the VL Foundation is all about.
So the VL Foundation is about providing services to inform mental health to adolescents who are going through grief. While, as you mentioned, I was 9, my baby brother was 7, my oldest brother was 16 when we lost our parents, right in the extremely important part of adolescence. College, no college. In the middle of high school, loses his parents. So that, and to him, it was like, I have to now raise my siblings. That's exactly the audience the VL Foundation wants to work with right there. We want to step in, provide counseling to those kids that's needed. We want to provide counseling to those kids who are going through that pain, who now have to either, in some cases, become the other parent or become the parent and navigate through that. If they're still a teenager, so navigating through that emotion is not easy. So that's the counseling piece. Then we have the college prep and the workforce prep. So for college prep, I did go through my teen years without my parents. So I had my godparents, and my godmother was really big on college. There was no option. You were going to college. Me, I believe that college works for some, doesn't work for all. So our college prep program will provide help with registering for the SAT and the ACT and the PSAT PSAT as well. Registering for FAFSA. We're going to have FAFSA seminars because financial aid is out there, and I want to make sure these kids get it so they can be able to, and also learn how to fill out your FAFSA. As a kid that went through that, I know that there's certain ways to fill it out so that, you know what, your school can be almost covered because you are now out here without parents. You don't need to put your parent information in. And even with that, there's also we help with applications. We help you fill out your college applications, hold over your essays, provide recommendations, provide mentors as well for the college prep section. The workforce prep we do there is we will prepare you to go get a job. So, again, not everybody's meant to go to college. However, you are required to work to survive in this life. So we will help you write your resume. We'll help show you how to prepare for an interview. We'll have mock interviews. You'll also learn how to dress for an interview. And we'll also talk about code switching, even at work and with your friends. Because, again, these are young kids, going into adulthood. They might not get this at home because it's either a parent is not there or a parent has passed away. So we look at grief in the fullest form of it. Not just the fact that the parent might have died, but some parents have left and haven't came back. That abandonment feeling can be also equivalent to grieving. It's like 1A, 1B in some situations. they're really grieving the life they once had with that family. Right now, I look at all of us as we're in the pandemic, all grieving in a way. We were once able to do whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, with whomever we wanted. And now we are inside, locked in. That's a huge change. So that's like, again, we're going to definitely attack grief in that aspect. So those are the three things we're providing for the younger set of adolescents: counseling, counseling, counseling. We definitely want to make sure we get your mental together for your next step.
Absolutely. I love it. And again, we've all been grieving since March of 2020. Just so, as you mentioned, we've lost a lot of things, not just loved ones, but just a normal way of life. We're all grieving, and we're still currently grieving in the midst of all of this in this important time in our society. I want to stay with your foundation for a moment. What are the age ranges what are the age ranges of the children that are being counseled?
So we're starting at 12, because that's right at the beginning of adolescence. You're about to be your preteen. And we're going all the way up to 22, because we specifically speaking, the average age of people that finish college is 22. So for those that are in college, the college section is a little bit different. Again, we are providing you with a mentor in high school, because I had that was one thing that changed my life around, besides my fact that my family was amazing. I had a great mentor that stepped in when I was young, and she stayed with me all the way up until recently, because I changed my career path. But she was very involved, and I want the mentors that we have, they are going to be very involved and there for them. And we want to make sure that if these kids, like one thing I learned in college, that sophomore, junior, and senior year, the scholarship starts to run pretty thin. Because I don't know why, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. I was like, okay, freshman year, I got all the money in the world, but now sophomore, junior, senior year, I see pennies. So we definitely want to say, keep them encouraged. Yeah, so you get me. Keep them encouraged and keep them with resources. We will be providing scholarships. We will have a first year scholarship. We'll have a few book scholarships also, which for those who have been in college, you already know. Book scholarships are necessary. And for those that will be in the workforce side of the program, where their situation is still going to be to 22, we're going to be checking in and also hoping that the goal is for them to give back too. If you go through the program and things work out amazing, I want you to come back and share what happened. Like, share that you got this awesome job, that things in life are great. Like, also be maybe possibly be someone that help boost those other kids that are in it. Because this target is very specific, because during adolescence, like you mentioned earlier, that's when we are going through puberty. That's when we're still we don't like ourselves. We're trying to figure self out. And now you add to that, I lost my parents were to guide me, or my parent or guardians. That can be your parents. That can be your grandparents. Whoever is raising you. You lose that crucial person in your life. It's like a huge weight just dropped on you. Now you're suffocating through the pain, through all these things. That's why we're here. We're here to lift that weight off of you and show you a path. Because in the DMV area, which now we're looking at opening it up all across work, it's still virtual at the moment. We are living in a society where some of these children are being tossed to the side. No longer, like, they're no longer going to be anything according to how they look at you. You're not going to be nothing. So you know what? Whatever to it. That's what happened to me and my siblings. We were looked at the same exact way, that we weren't going to be something. And all three of us are college educated and graduated and degree and got jobs. So it's just like, I look at those people, those naysayers, and like, I want to teach kids to show them, shut their mouth, shut them up. Because don't let them be right, because you dictate your future.
Amen. Absolutely. I love it how you and your brothers were able to, despite that tragedy, like you said, were able to graduate from college, have jobs, and just make things happen and be a positive force in the world. And that's what you and your team are doing with the VL Foundation. I love it with the programs that you have. Again, as she said, college prep, the counseling, and workforce prep. This is definitely outstanding. And I know you already answered it, but I'll ask you this again, Venora. Are you planning to take this thing nationwide or worldwide, or are you planning to just kind of keep it virtual for the time being?
My goal, I'm honestly just I'm real. Like, I am a Christian person, so I give it to God. I say, God, you tell me when to stop. And what I want to help as many people that have been through the same tragedies I've been through as much as possible. I want to definitely tune, if I can help everybody United States, if I can go all 50 states, get kids on these programs, I'm happy. If I can do worldwide, I'm ecstatic. If God said stay in DMV, I'm staying in DMV. So I'm just going to say like that. I would love to be able to make it worldwide. While it's still virtual, I'm offering that. I'm opening it up to, this can be, if I get an application from a kid in Georgia and he fits the criteria and, you know, he writes me the essay that, it's simple. If you fill out the information and you get it to me and I get it to my team and we accept you, then boom, you're in. We can't, unfortunately, be with each other at the moment because of COVID, but virtually, I'm accepting anybody at this point. I'm accepting in people that need the help, that also wants the help, too. That's the other piece of this that is very important to me and to my team. As much as we want to help and change things, if you don't want to do that for yourself, we can't make you. We can drag you to that river to drink water, but if you don't want to drink it, you ain't going to drink it. Inspire these children, and we want them to want to succeed, but if they don't bring that passion of their, like, hey, I want to go to college, I don't know how to. You know what, kid? Put your name down. We got you. We're going to work with you. So I'm
awesome,
right now,
man.
If your question, it's open.
Awesome, awesome. I love it. And, again, the VL Foundation is giving back to children that have lost a loved one at such a young age, man. And, again, they're making a big difference. Her and her team are doing a great job improving the mental health on a day-to-day basis and with helping with youth coping with just an insurmountable weight, trauma that they're experiencing. I want to stay now with your youth for a moment. And, of course, Venora, another thing that you do very well is sports broadcasting, doing the writing and the podcasting. What role did sports play in your mental health during the time to try to get back to some sense of normalcy in the aftermath of your parents' passing?
Sports played a huge role, I can say, because my father was a diehard Yankees fan, diehard Giants fan, and a super duper diehard Knicks fan. So growing up, that was on TV. You're not rooting for anybody else. You're rooting for the Giants, you're rooting for the Knicks, you're rooting for the Yankees. That's it. So I still to this day root for those teams because of that exposure as a child. And when I was an athlete in my youth, I played field hockey. When I was playing soccer, I used and track and cheerleading, all the things. I used my anger to fuel me on the field, especially in field hockey as a contact sport. Contact sport, and I would use my anger and my frustrations that I'm living in this area that I don't like these people. I'm surrounded by people that I don't mesh with. They all have parents, and they all make it known that I don't have any. Let me show them up on the field, which is what I did. That was my I guess you could say a pill of energy came from. It always came from, you know what? This person said I couldn't do this. Guess what? Now I'm going to do it and be funky with it. I'm going to dance on you when I win. Like I was a showboating super, super cocky sports athlete. I put it that way. When I scored on you, I danced, and then kept on playing. And I was very, very in that way. So I can say that sports was my outlet to let that anger out when I was a cheerleader. Especially in the earlier stages of the cheerleader, when I had to go to tumbling classes. My tumbling coach told me the power in your tumble passes come from within. And every time I would get, like, upset, I tumbled better. When I focused on the pain, I tumbled better. I was a better jumper in cheerleader. I was a better stunter. I was more flexible. I was at my A game when I just channeled my pain into my performances. Every time I danced, my performances were stellar. I got awards because of where it was coming from. It wasn't coming from joy. It was coming from hurt. And I was dancing out the hurt, and you can feel the emotion from it. And in track. Now, track, I'll be honest, I'm not the fastest person. So that was just more like, keep me in shape for two. I'll be real. But when I did go to States, it was because I remember what made me go to States, because one of my bullies when I was growing up happened to be on the other team, and he said something to me about my parents that triggered me, and I've never ran that fast in my life. I did the 200 meter, and I did the 50 meter hurdles, and I came in first place in both, which qualified me for state.
Awesome.
Because of that. So, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. It definitely goes to show you that not just the power of sports, man, but there's really any situation that you endure in life, you use that as fuel to the fire to help you become things, and you become better in life. Whatever you want to achieve, you can definitely do it. And definitely that was, you know, the fuel to the fire. Those kids were bullying you, and they didn't know what they were doing. And it turns out that they were doing all of the right things. But they were definitely propelling you for what was to come. Success. You graduated from college, and you're successful in the world. So congrats to you, as well as congrats to your brothers as well. So
thank you.
It's the VL. You're welcome. So again, tell everybody where they can find the VL Foundation on the web, social media, plug that as well.
Okay, perfect. You can check out the VL Foundation at the VLFoundation.org. That's our website. All of our this interview will be on there as well. But we will, our newsletters, our articles, our applications to be a part of to either enter your child or the guidance counselor or social worker enter your client in will be on there. The applications on there. We have volunteer options, mentor options, counseling options are all in our contact us section. So any person that wants to be a part is welcome to. They just got to talk to me and get screened and you'll be ready. We're also on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. But our Twitter name is called Foundation, capital V, lowercase L. And our Instagram is the VL Foundation, our Facebook. It's not the construction, but it'll be the VL Foundation. So you can definitely right now catch us up on Instagram and Twitter. We'll keep you updated with going on, and you'll see our events that are coming up. And, yeah, but the website is what definitely – and you also can contact us. There's a contact button where you can call if need be, and, or of course, email.
Awesome. And you heard it from her. She's Venora Lewis. She is the founder and the president of the BL Foundation, making a difference in the lives of the youth that have been tremendously impacted by losing parents or losing loved ones at such a very young age. She's doing marvelous work with that. And be sure to support. Again, that's blfoundation.org, and also support them as well on the web and on Facebook through social media and also on Twitter. Venora, one last thing before I let you go. Do the New York Knicks make the playoffs this year?
They better, because that's what I saw last night against the I saw against the Nets. I have a lot of hope because we almost beat the Nets. I'm putting it out there, so I think the Knicks are going to go.
Fair enough. How do you think the New York Giants are going to do this year?
Better than last. I think we should have went to the playoffs, but that's not. Again, that's a lot on us. That's our fault. But I'm liking the moves I've seen in the offseason, like the phrases that we signed. I'm vibing with them. I see hope. We got a receiver today, so I'm seeing some hope.
And last but certainly not least, the New York Yankees are the season's right around the corner. You think they have another World Series title? They could grab another World Series trophy this year?
I think the Yankees are going to do what they need to do and get the job done. I feel like we have the right pieces. We have the tools. Now it's time to get the chip.
Do you think we get a Yankees-Dodgers World Series this year?
That would be literally the best thing in the world. I would love that. As a Yankees fan and as a baseball slight fan, I would love that. But I think that's possible. It's very much possible. I do see the Dodgers going. Dodgers are very, very stacked. I see them. And, hey, man, I can do a Yankees and Dodgers game. And I will love to be a part of it. Hopefully, Cove, y'all get your back. Hopefully, we can be a part of it.
Okay. Well, again, you heard it from her. She's Venora Lewis. She's the founder of the VL Foundation. Check her out at vlfoundation.org. And also the host of the V Report and the co-host of the Huddle Up on the MTMB Sports Podcast Network, and also a contributor for Amber Sports Network and Beyond Women's Sports. Venora, thank you so much. This has been outstanding. And, of course, if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know. Thank you. You're welcome. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace. And we'll leave you with Venora telling everyone about the VL Foundation. So long, everyone.
Hi, my name is Venora Lewis. I'm a sports writer, the host of a popular podcast called The V Report, and now the founder of the VL Foundation Incorporated. When I was 9, I lost both of my parents. However, I was raised by my godparents, who did a fantastic job trying to fill that void. However, they couldn't. As an adult, I realized that void was because there was a lack of services and programs for adolescents like me. Hence why I started the VL Foundation. Our mission is to provide those services to adolescents who have lost or have felt abandonment from their parent or guardian. The three things we'll focus on is college prep, counseling, and workforce prep. Definitely check out our website, thevlfoundation.org, to keep up with us. But don't forget to check out our social media, which we're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Bye.
We've been listening in on those two drivers, sir. Take a listen.
Nice work, Agent, whatever your name is.
Sorry, let me just dial in the frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Stand by.
This is a Nissan sales event ad. Got it?
They're saying it's a Nissan sales event ad.
Bravo, you cracked it.
But, wouldn't there be some sort of announcer, sir?
Give it a sec.
Secret's out. Hurry in for unbelievable savings at your local Nissan store or shop online at NissanUSA.com. Get 0% APR financing on 14 models or get a low $229 per month lease on Rogue.
Well-qualified buyer subject to NMAC credit approval. See dealer for financing details. Well-qualified lessees, $42.59 initial payment for 36 months on 2021 Rogue. Initial payment amounts exclude tax, title, and license. Disposition fee due at lease end. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, list of eligible models, and important safety information. Ends 3/31/21.
At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we're upping the benefits without upping the price. Introducing Magenta Max. Now with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, get Netflix on us. Right now, pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $650. Only at T-Mobile.
Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. Up to 40 gigs high-speed tethering. $650 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Send and support charges waived. Receive Netflix standard with two lines.